Apple has their big developer conference in San Jose.
The company is said to be ready to provide a Siri speaker in a bid to rival the likes of Google and Amazon.
We think it could be announced as soon as next week. And it's something that's been in the works for a long time. Obviously, we know that Google and Amazon have had their speakers out for a year or 2 years, and even longer in Amazon's case. So Apple's playing a little bit of catch-up here.
The substantive criticism that even people who favor the Paris Agreement are, it is a voluntary agreement. There are no real binding commitments. Why do you think it is such a great deal that we ought to stay in it?
It would be foolish to pull out of this agreement because, number one, it would do great harm to our relations with our allies around the world. And secondly, it would condemn the U.S., the world, and future generations, our own children, to a world with an unacceptable level of climate change.
Do you think people should be concerned that the president posted somewhat of an incoherent tweet last night and that it then stayed up for hours?
No. The president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant. Blake.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It is June 1st, 2017. Glad to have you here for our first edition of The Opening Bell for the month of June, another business day. Lots to cover this morning. If you have one of those fire, the Amazon Fire, or one of the other tablets, or maybe your kid has one of the Apple iPads and they do those unauthorized in-app purchases. Well, guess what? You may be getting some money back. We're going to bring in later the director, Midwest director, assistant Midwest director of the Federal Trade Commission. There's a settlement in the works in that area. Lots of kids have been doing this. You would be surprised. You will be surprised when you hear just how much money is involved. We'll bring in our thought leader here momentarily, too. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning, Dow futures are a little weak this morning, off about 2 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are pointing in the upward direction. Crude oil is at $48.63 a barrel, which is up almost 0.5% this morning. In Asia this morning, Chinese stocks declined after a survey showed manufacturing weakening, while most other Asian markets gained after Wall Street fell for a second day yesterday. The Shanghai Composite lost about 0.5%. Tokyo's Nikkei gained about 1.5%. In Hong Kong, the market was up about 0.3%. And in Seoul, up about 0.1%. U.S. stocks fell yesterday on a sharp drop for banks and a rare loss for tech companies. That offset gains for drug makers and consumer-focused companies. Banks fell after executives from J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America said their trading businesses are having a rough second quarter. Energy companies fell with oil prices. Investors picked consumer-focused companies, drug makers, and high-dividend utilities and household goods companies. The Standard & Poor's 500 lost about 0.1%. The Dow Jones Industrials dropped about 0.1% as well. It'll start the day today over 21,000, however. A couple of other big stories we're watching, of course, you heard there in the opening montage, our news montage. Today's the day President Trump will announce his decision on whether he'll pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord. It'll be a Rose Garden ceremony later this afternoon at 2 o'clock Chicago time. He says on Twitter that his announcement decision has been made. The announcement will come, and he ended the tweet with, "Make America Great Again." Senior White House official says that the president is expected to withdraw from the agreement, which is aimed at reducing carbon emissions in an effort to curb global warming. Officials caution that details are still being finalized. There was also a report that the language may include some caveats that could slow this down just a little bit. This morning, other countries are concerned, obviously, and one of the big announcements came from China, where the premier there says that country will stay a part of the Paris Climate Agreement no matter what. Says fighting climate change is a global consensus and international responsibility. Canada's defense minister is repeating a threat to cancel the purchase of 18 fighter jets from Chicago-based Boeing because the company's trade complaint against Canadian plane maker Bombardier. The defense minister says that Boeing's action is unfounded and not the behavior of a trusted partner. Those are his words. He says buying the Super Hornet fighter jets requires a trusted industry partner. We'll continue to follow that story as we move through the morning. Do you use your Alexa to get the weather forecast, or maybe you use it to get the news? There could be a time real soon, it's happening in some places already, where you could actually use it to start trading and maybe even check your bank account. That's our focus this morning as we bring in our thought leader this morning. Rod Murray is Group Senior Vice President at Associated Bank. And Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Glad to see you here. We've got a lot of technology to talk about today and digital stuff. Let's start with sort of an overview of where this all stands. I know as we were looking forward to this year, one of the predictions was we would see a lot of the digitization of financial services. If you had to give a status report on it now, what would you say it is?
I'd say that everybody's on high speed and fast-paced. It's where a lot of money is being spent because, as you know and as we read everywhere, things are so fast-evolving that if you don't deliver what is termed differentiating and transformative customer strategies, then you're going to not keep pace with digitization. It'll be devastating. You'll become obsolete, or at minimum, there'll be a big disruption in whatever business you're in.
Yeah, and for the financial services area, is it everything? Is it bank accounts? Is it financial advisors? Is it wealth management? All of that stuff being digitized?
It's everything. It's cross-channel, right? I mean, it's all of the things that you just said there. It's both consumer, it's business. Consumer's probably leading the way, or the retail side of things, but business is going to follow in some way, shape, or form. But it's everything on the financial services side.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the conversation had been this was going to disrupt the industry. Now we're actually seeing where people are saying it's going to make you irrelevant if you're not doing this. That's way more than disruption, isn't it?
It's absolutely way more than disruption. I mean, it's obsolescence is what ultimately can happen. So it's, as you said, too, all delivery channels. It's branch, it's ATM, it's your call centers at the banks, it's your digital platform, it's everything under the sun.
It's interesting, too, because the more people I talk to, and again, it depends on age, but some of them will, there are some who don't want to see this, who are hesitant to get into it, and then there are others that are happy to see it. My question then would be, who's driving it? Who's driving all of this?
Yeah, so a term that I had read about was it's the digital natives, right, are driving it. So if you are of certain age group, you're probably more likely, certainly the millennials, you know, are talked about a lot, that if they're not happy with it and if they aren't seeing it, they'll quickly move whatever service it is, whether it's you know, anything they're dealing with on a day-to-day, but certainly in the financial services as well. But that also comes into our world as well, right? I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, and I see it and use it every day. I don't have the adoption of maybe some people who are in their 20s and 30s, but it's across the board.
I love the digital natives language. From the tribe millennial, we'll say. So, you, like me, the first thing that comes to my mind when I see all of this is this safe? Is that a big concern? Is that why you people your age and my age are concerned about this?
I think so. I mean, just personally speaking, I have a harder time putting some of my information out there on, you know, whatever cloud it is, whatever digital platform it is, whereas people who are coming up that have never had anything else have less of a concern there.
So what are the challenges, and perhaps we can use Associated Bank as an example here, what are the challenges in getting all of this up and running?
So security and regulatory, right? Mm-hmm. So we talk all the time about cybersecurity, and that is a big investment in time because everybody's trying to hack the banks, hack the financial side, hack everybody's credit cards. So you have to improve your protection on the new and emerging threats all the time. And then that security becomes an enabler of services. So a bank like Associated, right, the more we enhance our security, the more we're enabled to broaden our digital offering.
And we think of the security being I guess the military handles our national security. Who's handling this? Is there a central place? Is it the government that's sort of spearheading this, or is each individual institution like Associated Bank responsible for their own?
We're ultimately responsible for our own, but there's oversight from everything from, depending on which product and service you're talking, everything from the SEC to the OCC, you know, and those are all, you know, acronyms for different government regulatory agencies. So each institution, though, is ultimately responsible for driving how they do it, and then there will be tests after the fact to make sure that it's compliant with whatever it is in the offering. And the worst thing that can happen is, right, you have something that is a breach. So you're wanting to protect it at all times because you can't have whatever those agencies are that are overseeing it. They're just overseeing what you're doing. They're not doing it for you.
The positive part of this would be what? At the bottom line, you get it's not only easier for customers once they get the hang of it and they're comfortable with it, but it also saves you money in terms of the business you're doing?
It does save you money, right? If there's if there are cost improvements, that the less you touch something, right? I mean, it's like any product or service that you buy. The less you touch something, the less chance there is for error. You know, so you're not fixing errors. So that can be a money saver, and certainly the less steps. So that just gains automatic efficiencies too. Yeah,
we're getting to that point now where we can blame robots when stuff goes wrong, right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little. Speaking of robots, a nice segue into how Alexa is going to maybe take over some of this space. These things are becoming almost at the holiday time. I think Amazon said these things were going out the door, you know, one a minute, and everybody was buying one of them. Is it possible that we're going to be doing our banking and financial services through Alexa?
It's certainly possible, and you're starting to see some traction in the overall space. And we know that Amazon is looking into that, that Alexa could take the place of a financial advisor down the road. You know, and that's a synonym for a broker, right? And at some point, could you ask your Alexa to, you know, buy X number of shares of X company? Absolutely. I don't think that it will ever completely take the place of an investment portfolio manager, because there are still a lot of people who want the advice. They don't want to just execute. It comes back to that same term, that digital native. The digital native that will be great for ultimately is doing it through the Alexa. But
one of the wealth management groups, UBS, has already started experimenting with this just a little bit, enabling Alexa to answer current and important economic queries is the way this was phrased. So that would be what? You say, hey, the name of the, because we don't want to turn people's Alexas on, but give me the information on this. Is that where it's going to start, with just basic information?
That probably is where it will start, but I wouldn't be surprised, Steve, if it's starting with the basic information, but vis-a-vis the actual execution of some trades. I mean, I think that will be fast and furious coming, you know, right along with it, on getting some basic information, but also just doing what you do every day of selling. I want to sell X shares or buy X shares.
Yeah. And then from a consumer banking, I could see saying, hey, give me my current account status and pay so-and-so bill or something like that. It's all about the algorithms and artificial intelligence, isn't it?
Right. And you just mentioned algorithms. So that's something that they'll dive into. Ultimately, you have those regulatory agencies. It has to pass through all of that on what the notices are, what the disclosures are. But, you know, algorithms is something that a lot of the hedge funds use now. And again, reading, I think that there was a research firm that estimates that 27% of all stock trades by U.S. investors are using quantitative hedge funds, which use those algorithms now.
This is, I guess it's going to be a few years before this is like really saturated. But what are the concerns here? I mean, you mentioned that there's always going to be some who don't want to do this. How do you balance those? How do you balance the natives, the digital natives, with those who don't want to do this?
Yeah, so I think that, again, that it will be, there'll be a displace but not replace, right? So the balance is making sure your technology, your security is keeping up in pace with what it could be out there on the Alexas or the Amazons of the world. But I don't think that it's ever going to go away completely. I mean, people still want some human interaction. It'll be limited, but so again, displaced but not replaced. And it's just getting ahead of the game on that and making sure that you're not following, that you're leading. So,
and people who are already dealing with wealth managers, and probably too at Associated Bank, there's already some artificial intelligence. And you guys, I mean, humans use algorithms to tell us the stuff when we're on the phone with you, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the banks are using algorithms. There's, you know, geofencing going on with your phones and your smartphones. Absolutely. It's all being used across the financial services industry now.
The other thing that caught my eye was this, and it was a story from TechCrunch, borderless account for businesses. What would a borderless account be?
So a borderless account would be that a person or a company could set up multiple currency accounts but it's as if it all is under one roof for them. So they could have accounts in 10 or 15 currencies, but it's a little, it just moves in between their accounts, versus the way it happens now is if you're moving money from euros to dollars or whatever the currency is, it goes from your account to the bank's account back to your account. This would just be intra-account.
In this, as we move forward in the future with globalization, this makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does, and it's out there now a little bit. It's in, certainly in beta mode. It's Europe is using this, and what they're after, you know, the non-banks that are doing this, they're after those banks that are probably low volume, where it's not as cost efficient, and they're also after the ones that are having problems with, you know, what they call BSL AML, which is the you know, bank secrecy and money laundering. Thank you. Yeah. So if you're struggling with that, you're probably going to be a target of this particular type of industry, because they will do it in such high volume, you know, that they'll be able to make it up.
Yeah. And then that, again, back to the scary part of it, the making it a global thing, that just opens up the doors, it would seem, to even more interference, doesn't it?
It does, right? So we're back to risk on your security. What are your cyber defenses? You know, how do you protect people from hacking into that?
As we talk about these algorithms and artificial intelligence pushing the technology forward, is it possible that both of those things are going to also solve this problem of security, that you would actually have an algorithm that knows when somebody's going to break in or can find that before it happens?
That would be absolutely ideal. I'd like to be the person that invents that. It'd be a brilliant idea. And so, you know, but it, I guess it's anything's possible, and that would be a good solution if you can just build an algorithm that completely takes away the risk.
Yeah, sort of like a guard dog that's just in all of the data looking for that.
Right.
So if you had to predict where we're going to be at the end of the year, I know we were doing predictions last year, and it seems like we've already taken a leap, light year leap forward, just, and it's not even, you know, middle of the year yet.
So I would say by the end of the year, you're going to be seeing, you know, the financial services in all of the different aspects, asset management, consumer banking, starting to make probably some announcements, starting to, you know, roll out some things that we as consumers right now, this Gen X guy here, I can't even think about. Mm-hmm. So I think that by the end of the year, you're going to see some adoption into 2018 of some new products, some new services that, you know, are cutting edge.
I'm guessing, too, if you're advising people on what decisions they should make or where they go, the things that would be the same if you're going to hire somebody personally would still be the same. Find somebody you trust, have a relationship, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you still need a relationship. You still need to have somebody that has that option, right? Because if you go 100% digital, who do you call, right? It's as we all know, it's a little bit harder to get your service levels up when you go that route, when you have no human interaction at all. So there's a trust. There's certainly a reputation. You know, banks like Associated Bank, we're still going to be there, right? So we're going to be on the cutting edge, and we're investing, you know, millions of dollars in technology all the time. But we're also going to be there for the human interaction.
Very exciting going forward. I'm excited to see how we're going to end up in a couple of years.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see.
All right. Good to see you again. We'll see you again next month.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Rod Murray's a group senior vice president for commercial banking, the head of leveraged finance group at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And join us again next Thursday for another thought leader conversation from Associated Bank and WGN 720.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:40 here on a Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Glad to have you with us. Amazon has started offering refunds to customers for unauthorized in-app charges possibly made by children. We're going to tell you how much it is here. I don't want to give away the big number, but it's a lot. Millions of dollars in charges incurred. And Jason Adler is the Assistant Director of the Federal Trade Commission's Midwest Region. He's with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on, because this is anybody who has kids around the house knows that this is a real thing that happens. Tell us how much Amazon's agreed to refund.
That's right. So in the FTC's lawsuit against Amazon, the court found the company liable for billing consumers for charges incurred by children on the Amazon App Store. So this is on the Kindle Fire and other tablets. Amazon is required, pursuant to the court's order, to refund all eligible in-app charges. And that amount is a little over $70 million could be eligible to get back to consumers.
So how does this happen, Jason? How do the unauthorized in-app charges take place?
So Amazon, back in late 2011, launched an app store. So this is a mobile app store that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. This app store was available on the Kindle Fire and also on Android devices. Parents could download apps, which were available for free or sometimes for a set purchase price. But within these apps, children could incur charges from 99 cents to $99.99 apiece in unlimited quantities at the tap of a button. So this is a child playing a game, feeding a starving pet, or purchasing virtual crops for a virtual farm. Just a tap of a button would allow the child to purchase those items and bill it directly to the parent without any password entry or other authorization by the parent.
Yeah, this has happened at our house. My nieces did this, and it was a little bit before my brother knew what was going on. That's part of the issue, too, because it doesn't show up automatically, does it?
Right. So we heard from a lot of consumers right off the bat that this was happening at pretty high levels. Consumers were complaining to us, to Amazon, that their children were incurring these charges without their knowledge, that they didn't expect them. In fact, right away, Amazon received complaints that, in the words of its App Store director, reached house on fire levels.
I would imagine. So it is one of those things where, you know, you have these little devices and the kids are playing on them. And as you mentioned, the farm thing, that one, you per crop, you could really charge up some money there pretty quickly. So what was Amazon's reaction to this? Did they, I'm guessing they did not initially cooperate with you.
Right. So we filed a lawsuit in federal court against Amazon in 2014, in mid-2014. And through that litigation, we asked the court to find that Amazon was liable for a practice of billing consumers without their permission for children's in-app charges. The court granted our motion for summary judgment early last year, and as a result of that, also granted a request that Amazon refund all of these charges back to consumers. So fortunately, that's the process we're moving toward now. Just this past weekend, Amazon launched its refund program, so consumers can now seek refunds for these charges.
And how did they go about doing that?
So Amazon emailed, pursuant to the court's order, Amazon emailed all eligible consumers. And the email contains instructions about how to complete the process. But I think the takeaway is that this is a pretty easy and pursuant to the court's order, it has to be a streamlined process. Consumers can complete it entirely online. So Amazon has sent an email to all eligible consumers with instructions. Consumers can either click on a hyperlink to a dedicated website, or they can go to the message center of their account settings on Amazon.com and go to important messages to find more information. Consumers can also just visit our website at ftc.gov, where right on the front page we've posted information about accessing the refund process.
We're going to link out to that, too. It seems like a pretty simple, easy process. So going forward here, Jason, has Amazon agreed to do anything differently to make sure this doesn't happen in the future?
So one of the driving forces of this litigation was getting consumers their money back, in part because Amazon had made some changes along the way. So just after we filed, or just before we filed, rather, Amazon changed its practices so that it would seek consent for charges on its newer devices. During litigation, after we won on summary judgment, Amazon changed its practices so that it would seek consent through password entry for charges on its older devices as well.
And that's a pretty good idea. I mean, kids generally don't know those passwords. Again, make it something big so that even the ones who do know how to spell can't do this. Jason, this is a great story because it shows the work of the Federal Trade Commission. And it also sort of shows consumers, too, that, hey, you can win against the big guys, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's a good takeaway. I think one of the other takeaways is that this is a pretty fundamental principle for the Federal Trade Commission that of consumer protection. Companies have to get consent from consumers before billing them. Companies have to tell consumers what they're paying for. And we want to make clear, and this case does, that principle applies equally to mobile devices as it does to brick-and-mortar stores.
Jason, good of you to be with us this morning on the Opening Bell. Thanks for the information.
Thanks very much.
All right, Jason Adler, the Assistant Director of the Federal Trade Commission's Midwest region. You can find more on the web at FTC.gov. We're going to link out in Twitter and on our website as well to the refund process for these Amazon in-app purchases and the refunds from Amazon.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:50, and on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we're looking for a tepid start to the trading day again on Wall Street today. Dow futures up just 2, S&P up a 1, almost 1.5, the NASDAQ just up 11. Gold and silver are trading lower this morning. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Steve, and good morning, everyone. The cattle market yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange saw the strength carry over from the previous day's trade. Again, fund buying and short covering on the final trading session of the month. June cattle ended up $1.45 a hundredweight. August cattle up $1.85. And last week, packers paid $132 to $133 for cash cattle in the plains. That brought $133 to $134 the previous week. A few packers may need cattle for the first full week of production after the Memorial Day holiday, according to one trader. And the lean hog trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange reversed Tuesday's sell-off, helped by short covering, and then Wednesday morning's wholesale pork price rebound that lifted contracts to new highs. June lean hogs up $1.42 a hundredweight for the day, ending at $81.92. Meanwhile, the grain trade at the Chicago Board of Trade today saw strength well throughout the session. The July wheat contract up just a quarter of a cent, July corn up 4.5, and that happened because of lower than expected crop ratings in the weekly report from USDA. July soybeans ended the day up 3.25 cents a bushel. Now, looking at one other note, the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said the best window to complete the renegotiation of NAFTA is by early January. Well, that's a ways away. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of other stories we're watching for you this morning. Japan is building its own GPS in hopes of reducing location errors for drivers, drone operators, and other users. A rocket launched today from southern Japan is carrying a satellite that will form part of the Japanese GPS service. The Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency and Mitsubishi are involved in this. Japan currently relies on American GPS. Also this morning, Uber says it has reported another multi-billion dollar loss, but its ad revenue is growing. Its revenue is generally growing. San Francisco-based company says this morning its losses in the first quarter narrowed to $708 million from $991 million in the previous three-month period. Uber tells the Associated Press it has about $3.4 billion in revenue for the period. That's 18% higher than in the final 3 months of last year. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, it's June 1st, 2017. There are two major jobs reports due out today. Payroll processor ADP will report on how many jobs the private employers added in May. The Labor Department will also release the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits over the last week. Also today, the Labor Department will issue revised data on productivity in the first quarter. The Commerce Department will report on U.S. construction spending in April. The Institute for Supply Management, a trade group of purchasing managers, will issue its Index of Manufacturing Activity for May. Freddie Mac reports on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates, and major automakers will report their sales figures for the month of May. We'll be watching that very closely. Today's the final round of the Scripps National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. The championship round will be later in the day toward evening, and SpaceX's commercial cargo resupply mission is to blast off from the International Space Station, carrying the uncrewed Dragon cargo spacecraft on a Falcon 9 rocket on its way to the Space Center at 4:55 p.m. Central Time. Some of the things that could move the markets here on the ground and in outer space, all for this June 1st, 2017.